Was there anything unsettling about your research when you were putting genes, giants, monsters, and men together?
Oh, my word, yes. Huh. Yes, there was. And it wasn't even any one specific thing, George. One of the most unsettling things to me was this constant feeling I kept getting as I was researching all the archaeological data, not only with Cremo and Thompson and some of the things that they've uncovered, but some things that other archaeologists, I've mentioned Adrian Mayer and other archaeologists have uncovered in this country. I kept getting the distinct feeling, George, again, that we were looking at a massive cover-up or reluctance to talk about, let's put it that way, a reluctance to talk about these things on the part of standard archaeology. And again, if you aren't willing to talk about these things, that means there's something about them that has to be unsettling to the professional academic. And again, I think all of it is due to the fact that we are dealing with clear evidence not only of a very ancient sophisticated civilization, but that it had some sort of interplanetary extent. And the implication, therefore, is once again that we may have members of the human family out there. And if that's the case, then, you know, they may be coming back. And that ties into the other big unsettling thing that I mentioned in the first hour, is if these stories, and it's a mighty big if, let's admit, but if these stories, George, are true, that we are engineered into existence by a group of people with an agenda, then this means we're property. So if they're coming back, you know, the implication is they might be coming back to claim their property.
Sure.
And the problem here, George, is now humanity, as I've indicated, has the technology to fight back. So, you know, it's a pretty nasty scenario that emerges from all of this, and that probably was the most unsettling thing that I found.
You know, since I was a boy, I would always look toward the heavens.
Yes.
The stars at night, Joseph, and I was just mesmerized by all of this.
Yes, you and me both.
Yeah, and at a very young age, I just started to make up my own mind, my own conclusions,
yes,
that there's more to this universe than meets the eye. I was always very spiritual, not really religious. I wasn't an organized type of religious. You know, I went to Catholic school and,
right,
you know, catechism classes, and, you know, I did the church thing. But the older I got, I realized that, you know, you don't need organized religion to believe in God. Or
right,
whatever you want to call this.
Right.
But I am concluding at this point in my life that there is something out there in the universe that is extremely intelligent.
Yes.
That has put us on this planet, in this universe, for a purpose.
Yes.
And it's not merely to exist every day and, you know, to go to a baseball game or do whatever we do. It's to enhance this internal soul of ours for some bigger picture. And
yes,
I don't know yet what that bigger picture is, but I am totally convinced that there's more to this than we think.
Well, I have to agree with you, and agree with you on a number of things. I, like you, have come to the conclusion that the implications of this are so huge that increasingly, as I advance in years, I have little to do with organized religion. But yet, at the same time, like you, I think all of this has vast spiritual implications. And I agree with you. This is for some purpose. And I think, really, if you look at the body of research that I've done, at the body of research that other people in this field have done, I think most of us are coming to a similar conclusion. There is a purpose to all of this, although dissecting and divining what it might be is such a huge problem, because in order to do so, you must account for all of the legends, of all of the traditions. You can't lock yourself into one system and think that you have all the keys to the puzzle. And that's a huge task, because each culture construes that spiritual purpose slightly differently. And I think they've all got a piece of the puzzle. They've all got a clue to the puzzle. It's the problem is assembling the pieces of that puzzle, and that's the difficult thing.
We started off the interview talking about giants,
yes,
and monsters.
Yes.
Let's talk about the war against the Giants. Who would have conducted the war against the Giants besides the Greeks?
Well, this is another very, very interesting question. If you look at all of the lore, the Greeks have their version, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Hopi, the Iroquois. When I investigated this subject, George, I was astounded at the parallels between all of these very, very divergent cultures. One thing clearly emerges, and that is that there appears to be some sort of worldwide program of war against these giants, all right? In other words, it's not just a Greek thing. It's the Iroquois are doing it, the Hopi are doing it, the Aztecs are doing it, the Mayans are doing it. Basically, everybody's doing it. And they all have different reasons for why they're doing it. In some cases, the giants are kidnapping people and quite literally eating them, cannibalism. And in other cases, you get the explanation, you know, from the Bible and from the Aztecs that their sexual practices were somehow aberrant or abhorrent for whatever reason. But again, if you put it into the context of the cosmic war thesis that I advanced in that book, there is a very interesting clue in the Mesopotamian texts, and I want to mention it here because it's sure. The background for Genes, Giants, Monsters, and Men. And the clue, George, is that this is a kind of a civil war. In other words, it's a war taking place between various branches of the pantheon of the gods. And the ultimate motivation for the war, if you read the Vedic texts, if you read the Mesopotamian texts, is somebody wants to control an extraordinarily powerful technology or to prohibit others from gaining and applying that technology. So we're looking, even in that sense, George, we're looking at kind of a metaphor of today's society as various world powers are trying to prevent other countries from gaining access to nuclear technology and so on and so forth. In other words, the motivations of this war, whatever it was, wherever it occurred, the motivations for this war were very, very modern. And that's what makes me think that these ancient texts are describing something that actually happened. So these giants enter into the picture, I think, as part of a bigger picture. They are players, they are soldiers in the combat that is involved for the control of this technology. And I'll be very blunt. I think, George, that some of this technology had to have been genetic in nature. In other words, someone wanted to control the processes and issues of life itself. And that's what had to be denied, and that's what had to be fought for.